Hey modelers, welcome to the Model Geek Scale Modeling Podcast. Here we will be discussing anything and everything as it relates to the world of scale modeling. Before we start, we would like to take a moment and thank all of you listeners out there for your support. We would also like to thank our great sponsors for their support. Detail and Scale, Furball Aero Design, Tamiya USA, and Sprue Brothers. Please pay a visit to their websites and have a look at all their fine products. Now buckle up and ride along as we journey into the world of scale modeling. We really hope that you will download and make us a part of your modeling bench sessions. Now, here are the geeks, Darren Cook, Scott Samo, Andrew Frill, and Andrew White.
Hey, what's crack-a-lackin', Model Geeks? This is Frildo, and welcome to episode 35 of the Model Geeks podcast. And as usual, I am joined by my three illustrious co-hosts, D-Ran, Nemo, and Whitey. Fellas, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Illustrious or lustrous?
However you feel, man. It's 2022.
It's like infamous, you know? Yeah,
we're famous.
Infamous? We're not. It's not that we're famous. We're infamous.
We are infamous.
Infamous.
We're something.
So now, I'll go ahead and ask, get out of the way. Who's seen the new Top Gun movie?
I'm the only loser who hasn't seen it.
D-Ran, you haven't seen it. Oh yeah, you
did.
Saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
We're going either tomorrow or probably Sunday. So
all right.
Monday all right. Rolls. I got a reprieve. Gabe said, "You got like a couple days through the weekend, and that's it, man."
Then the spoilers start flopping.
Spoilers start. I'm like, okay.
Well, don't forget to wear your leather flight jacket, jeans, and boots, and your white t-shirt.
Man, we should have done that. I'm telling you, we should have gone with the flight suits, and like stuck a bunch of patches all over the sleeves and stuff, and then wear our, you know, our polo shirts with the collars up and cowboy hats. Man, that would have been, I mean, we would have looked like complete goobers, but it would still would have been fun.
If we weren't in a Navy town, it would be okay. But I mean, we're right here in the heart of Pax River.
I just don't give a shit what other people think, man. That movie was awesome when I was like 16, 17 years old. It's one of the reasons why I did what I did for 20 years in the Navy. It's not the only reason, but it definitely made me go, man, I knew this was cool. But yeah, man, I don't know. I will say
one thing. When I went and saw it last Friday at like 10:15, and we were one of maybe 20 people in the entire theater. And I will say this, in the beginning of the movie, it was just like the first one. And when they had it up on the screen about 1968, I started clapping. I was like, 36 years in the making.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I can't wait to see it. I think it'll be good. I mean, of course, everybody said that it's, you know, it's don't look at it from trying to critique it from a Navy perspective, because we've all been there and we know that it's a little hokey, but I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, it's freaking. Yeah.
It was
Top
good.
Gun.
It was good. It was a good show.
I will say that they got some stuff right. And of course, other stuff was embellished for movies, you know, movie magic. But
yeah, it's a movie.
They certainly did get some stuff right. They did their homework on quite a few things, and you'll see what I'm talking about when you watch it.
I hope
then we'll discuss on the next episode.
Yeah, a boom in aircraft modeling.
Man.
Yep, I see a surge in Ming Super Hornets.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. I'm glad I got my Trumpeter 32nd scale Super Hornet cheap at a show. You know, I think I paid like $80 for it. So
what is it? Revell that has the actual like Top Gun Maverick kit out, right?
Yeah. They do. Yeah, I bet even that kit's probably selling like freaking crazy, man.
I'm gonna go recon like the local, you know, your generic the Michaels, the Hobby Lobby. Yeah, even the Walmart. I wonder if the local Walmart, because, you know, I've seen posts with people have come across car model displays in Walmarts and stuff like that lately. And I wonder if with the popularity of the movie, if we'll start seeing those kits at least at the very minimum pop up.
So
you'd think, right? They'd sell like millions of them. Walmart, you know?
Right,
jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. You talked about the Revell kit. The Ming Super Hornet, the E, came out. It has Pete Mitchell markings in it. And those were done by Brian. He added those to one of his sheets, his Top Gun sheet.
Gotcha.
As well.
All right. So, smart, you know.
Now, the bad thing about that is that a lot of the blue stripes in that Ming kit has to be painted. So you got to color match, you know, to the other decals or stickers. Stickers, not decals. But yeah. But the markings are there in the instructions for it in the Ming kit too.
There's a couple of decal sets that I've seen for it that they have the those funky looking star and bar. It's like angled or some shit. I'm like, that's. I wonder why they did that. I don't know.
I think it's like that on the actual plane, isn't it?
It's not.
Isn't it like elongated or something?
No, it's a standard star and bar. Sister, I don't know why they made it funky. I don't know.
Hollywood.
That's that movie magic part that I was talking about.
Yep.
So, I mean, well, that's a great segue into our, you know, hey, so what are you guys working on? D-Ran. I know you've got you've taken a page from Scott's book and have like 50 squirrels running around now.
Judas Priest, man. The better question is, what am I not working on? I'm not working on sleep. I'm not working on social life. That's not working. No, I'm working on a little bit of everything. I kind of got, man, I'm going to tell you straight up. And I'd like to know what you guys do for this too. I got into a slump. I've got so much stuff going on and I'm so worried about the nitpicking details. And I go back to Spencer's, you know, quit competing with yourself. I'm trying to do all this little penny BS as far as detailing and all this other stuff goes. And it's just sucked me into a slump. So the latest squirrel was to pick up a quick build, and I grabbed a 148 scale Minicraft Cessna 172 easy kit, and man, is it not nice. It fits like a dream. But the goal here was to build that thing like here by Saturday, just throw it together, finish something, and try and get some of that that mojo back. So that's kind of what I'm really concentrating on right now. A lot of stuff in the fire, and but that's the one thing I kind of tuned everything else out so I could do this.
So the proverbial palate cleanser is what's been going on.
Okay. Yeah. I think it needs to be done every now and again.
Sure. I was planning on jumping into the Super Hornet when I finished the SU-27, but I'm still dicking with that thing. So I'll probably do like a Tamiya build when I'm done with this, so that I don't have to stress it. Maybe I'll do the D. Since I already did an A, but we'll see.
So is that what you do to get yours back, your palate? I mean, you just get like a well-engineered kit?
Pick up a Tamiya kit, no stress, just put it together. It's fun, you know. I've wanted to do another Tomcat, so maybe I'll do one of those just because it's, or maybe the wait till the P-38 comes out, do one of those or something. So something fun.
You've got
easy.
Some of the other P-38s, right?
Yeah, but I really like the J.
No.
I'll probably get rid of the other ones.
Huh, interesting.
Yep.
What do you do to get yours back?
I'll do something similar to what Scott just talked about. I know right now my last two builds have been I've been bogged down by group builds that I, you know, voluntarily put myself into.
That's another time suck.
Yeah. And you know, in the meantime I had the last build of my own that I was doing was that I did finish up that Cobra. I was trying to squeeze that in for the Desert Storm stuff, but then my Fury that I you know, put a lot of aftermarket into that, a lot of the hypersonic stuff, and then I ran into issues with paint, so that's been shelved for a while, and that's one I want to get back to once I get done with my A4, which I'm again group build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I'm going to work on right there, right? So that's what I've kind of felt. I hear what you're saying, man. I kind of felt like I had the hobby was becoming work. Like I had, I have to get the Sherman done for the group, Triple P group build. I got to get my A4 done for our group build. You know, Nats is a month away. You know, so right now I feel like, I'd like to kick back and just build something quick. And, you know, again, something like a Tamiya kit or something small, World War II single engine prop, you know, heck, I even, you know, I picked up a Wingsy ME109. Maybe I'll jump on that, you know, or something that's, you know, I know is going to go together really, really smoothly and no aftermarket involved.
Just
right out of the box, paint, decals, boom.
Yeah. I thought this one was going to be real simple, but that, now I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to put this 40 pounds of weight in the front end of this little airplane to keep it from sitting on its tail. Frill, I'm sorry I hijacked your what's everybody working on, man. But I think we kind of hit as we're going around. Back to you. What do you do for your cleanse?
I pretty much do what Scott and Whitey do. I'll grab a real simple kit, like a Tamiya one. Everybody says a Tamiya one, but it's just such a Tamiya kit, such a stress-free build that it's a good mojo starter for you to just grab one and just put glue and paint on something and get something out. So I like to grab on, like I'll grab on a Tamiya kit and just go ahead and bang that out.
Yeah.
Well, something simple.
That's what this is supposed to be. And I kind of down the same road, trying just to finish something and finish it quick. No aftermarket, no nothing, just glue and paint, be done with it. So anyhow,
you know, it's kind of cool real quick to touch on that. It's like, it's kind of cool. 'Cause you kind of go back to having fun and modeling, you know, not to like stress out over details like, oh, I got to put this resin cockpit in. Oh, I got to use this, you know, this conversion set or photo etch stuff, and you just build it, man. Just build it and paint it and admire it. Oh, Scott, what you working on?
Well, mine'll be quick. I'm still working on the SU-27. There's just so many little fiddly bits and pieces and parts. Anytime you're doing the modern, you know, whether it's a Navy jet or a Russian, any modern jet, there's just so many fiddles. So, you know, and getting all the pylons so that everything lines up and the weapons are, fins are all straight and drilling and pinning things and antennas and just, it's just so much. And then just trying to get the gear to fit right and make sure that all the stencils and whatnot were on the airframe. And it's just a lot. And so it's not really fun. I'll just be real happy whenever this freaking thing is done. I mean, it looks good, but it's the amount of like effort. And, you know, I'm trying not to cut corners because I want to cut corners and just get it done. But then it's like, man, I've already put, it's kind of like the Forrest Gump running thing, right? He's like,
that's a good analogy.
He's like, well, I just started running and then I ran to the end of the block. And then I figured, well, since I ran to the end of the block, I might as well go to the end of the driveway. Then once I got to the end of the driveway, I figured, well, I might as well go to the end of the county. And then after I ran to the end of the county, then I figured, well, I've run this far already, so I might as well just keep on going. So then that's what I did. I just kept running. And I'm like, that's what I feel with this stupid ass freaking SU-27, man. It's like, I want to like quit. I don't want to really work on it anymore, but I might as well keep going because I've already gone this far. So I might as well put all the stencils on it. So, well, I guess now I got all the stencils on, I guess I might as well just keep on going and put all of the fiddly bits on. So that's what I've done. I'm just keep going. And now I'm freaking going crazy building this stupid thing and I'm ready to be done.
Well, it's looking good, man. So yeah, keep on running.
A couple of times I wanted to colonize this piece of crap, but she's almost done. And I think the tough part is it's behind us and all the stuff's ready to go on. So
in the meantime, you're ready to start your next Kitty Hawk kit, right?
I am ready to keep on running.
Well, I'm glad you kept with it because it's looking really good, and you're almost at the finish line. So yeah,
it's getting there, close. Maybe at the finish line, there will be Jenny waiting for me with some ice cream, and maybe Lieutenant Dan.
Well, I know that there was a Model Geek sticker placed at the place where Forrest Gump quit running.
Yeah, anyway, our good buddy Chris Dirks did that for us.
I'm working on the SU-27. I'm done.
Well, that's good. Whitey, what you got going on over there?
Okay, like I said, I'm in work on the A4 for the group build. And, you know, to go back, to, I'm keeping it simple with this thing too. Out of the box, aside from the decals, and it's going to be a Brazilian one. I got some Caracal decals for that. Just a line jet. I'm not going to do that anniversary scheme. That's too complex on the painting. Plus, I like the dirty line jets anyway.
Yeah, man.
And like I said, I finished up the M4 Sherman on Monday, Memorial Day. That was my goal, to be done with that by the evening, and I did. I succeeded there. Got it done, painted, and loaded up the back end with a bunch of value gear stowage, and shot it with some Delcoat. Good to go. And like I was, we were talking about it launch day too, with the weathering on armor. I mean, I could keep on going just like Forrest and not even know where the end is. So I just decided, you know what, it looks dirty. It looks a little bit worn and good. Stopping. Calling time on it. Boom.
Can I go back to the line jets? I'd like to propose a toast. All hail the dirty line jets.
Dirty line good. Jets. Cheers.
Dirty line jets. Cheers.
Cheers.
Really didn't have dirty line jets in a P3 squadron.
We had some dirty ones.
No, we had dirty, but we weren't allowed to have our squadron tail colors and stuff on the airplanes. And it was funny, when I was in VP8, you know, we never had one for the longest time, but VP10 and 26 had one. And I was like, why are we not have our squadron stuff on at least one airplane? But I guess
because dirt sailors aren't no fun.
Well, no, I guess when they started like swapping airplanes around, like $2 hookers, they like got tired of having to repaint them and peel the vinyl off. So they just said, you know what, just don't pay anything. And for the longest time we didn't. And it wasn't until I went back the second time that we had airplanes with, you know, the Lima Charlie on the tail and the Tiger. So that's cool. And as for myself, well, I am really close to the finish line on the Sherman. I have the value gear stowage. I'm in the middle of, it's painted. So now I'm just weathering it. And for the first time, I made a tarp, because I hit up TJ and I was like, TJ, all right, man, so how do I do this stowage stuff? I mean, I had it like how I was going to mock it up, and I sent him a picture and I was like, do I have this right? And he's like, oh, you should do a tarp so it looks more organic. And I was like, how the hell do I do a tarp, dude? And he's like, you could use tissue paper with water and white glue, or use two-part putty, epoxy putty. And I was like, well, I got some Tamiya putty. Two-part epoxy putty. So I whipped up some of that and rolled it out with an X-Acto knife handle and made a tarp. So I put a tarp. I made two tarps, actually. Put it on there, and I put the gear, the value gear stowage stuff all around it, glued it on there, primed it, and now I'm in the process of weathering it, and that's the last thing I got to do for the Sherman, and my Sherman will be done. And the MiG-23 is close to being done as well. I started weathering the FOD covers, because looking at pictures, when the MiG-23, the MLDs were over in Afghanistan, they use the FOD covers, the plugs and covers, a lot, just to keep the blowing sand and stuff out of them. And so I have the Quick Boost and the Edward FOD cover set, and I've been using a combination of both of them, because the Quick Boost set doesn't give you the really cool intake screens for the auxiliary door intakes on the side of the intake. And so I've got the Edward ones for those. They're photo etches, are really nice. And I used the Quick Boost because they have resin intake plugs. And so I have those. And it came with a nice resin exhaust plug that fit right inside the burner can, just nice and tight. And it fits in there really good. So, and we had mentioned it earlier, talking about, you know, we get to a point where you're like, oh, I start taking shortcuts and just to get something done. And I caught myself. I was doing that when I was doing the missiles. I kind of half-assed painted them, and then I was just looking at it and I was like, no, this is unacceptable. And so I had to stop. I stripped them down, resanded a few panel lines that needed to be touched up some more, and I repainted them. And I just weathered them all up today. They're all done. Got the decals on them, so those will go on. And I might hopefully have it done this weekend. I call them decals.
Parsi missiles.
Yeah. And I went ahead and painted up the chocks and the boarding ladder from that LPM Productions, wherever it is. Yeah, the LP Models boarding ladder and chocks, and they look really nice. So I just weather that stuff up, and the the MiG-23 will be done. And so I'll have two models hopefully finished this week.
What?
Yeah, I know. Two
no,
done.
You won't.
Wow.
Yeah, you're probably right. I won't. But I was looking at it. I think I've only finished, once I finish these two, it's four for the year for me so far.
What?
Yeah, wow, only man. Four.
Already?
Yeah.
I've finished cranking. A big fat nothing. No, I finished the A4. Holy crap, look at that.
There you go. Yeah.
Ba-dum, psh.
Yeah, cool. I think it's four for me.
Wow.
Holy crap. If I could just clean off this bench, I would have like six done.
I know, man. You got ones like in paint still. You know, like they're being painted.
I know. They're ready for paint.
Don't you have some that already have like decals on them?
We're not going to talk about that, like, Scott.
Okay. Sorry.
But we're not going to talk. I quit running on those.
Got it. Hey, yes, you know what I have to do? You got to, man. My squirrels were running like freaking crazy, and I put those little sons of bitches back in their cages, and I said, stay there. And so they did. Gotta, don't let the squirrels run you, man.
Well, I'm gonna have to do something. It's a sickness, Scott. It's a sickness.
It can get out of control.
I'm thinking there's a pill for it somewhere. I need to find that pill.
Well, when those are done, that will clear off the bench, and I can get on the, I'm going to do our review build of the new Tamiya P38J.
So you're telling me you got a fever, and the only prescription, well, it ain't more cowbell.
No.
It's whatever it is.
it's more glue.
More glue.
Yep, so that should be a fairly straightforward build, so I'm looking forward to that. And I got to get with D-Rand to critique my video space. So I might think about doing a video build of it.
What stickers are you going to put on it?
Yeah,
I'm just going to do straight out of the kit. Just use the kit stickers, and I'll get another one for myself.
Isn't there like four options? I read there was like four options.
Yeah, you got I'm kind of leaning towards Richard Bong's airplane, Marge.
Oh, yeah.
But also that Pudgy 3 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that one, because they're all natural metal. So
cool, man.
That would be a good kit to do a natural metal finish on, because a lot of the parts just click together. So you don't have a whole lot of sanding out in the open areas where you'll see them easily.
Yeah, a little extra thin and you're good to go.
Yeah, man. So that's it for me.
Nice.
Hey, before we move on, let's take a few minutes and hear from our good friends, Rock Rozak and Bert Kinsey over at Detail and Scale.
Hi, Model Geeks. Rock Rozak of Detail and Scale here to talk about our latest book, Attack Aircraft of the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps, by Bert Kinsey. At the end of World War II, the Navy combined the missions and capabilities of the scout dive bomber and the torpedo bomber into a single aircraft, and the A designation for attack aircraft was born. Our book covers 14 different attack aircraft, from the propeller-driven AU-1 Corsair, AM Mahler, and the A-1 Sky Raider, to the jet-powered A-3 Sky Warrior and the A-7 Corsair II, and then moves on to the revolutionary short vertical takeoff and landing aircraft represented by the Harrier and the Harrier II. Also included are the legendary A-4 Skyhawk, the supersonic A-5 and RA-5C Vigilante, and the all-weather A-6 Intruder. Over 70 years of naval attack aviation history is at your fingertips. The book sells for $14.99 in its digital editions, while the print book goes for $21.99. Visit our website at www.detailandscale.com for more information. And now, back to the Model Geeks Podcast.
Hey, thanks, Rock. Thanks for the update. All right, so moving on to some geek news. Fellas, what have you heard? There's been some good nuggets out there this week.
Oh, it's been quiet. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there's nothing coming out. The hobby's totally dead, man. I quit.
I got a list going over here, bro. Yeah. Well, I mean, and we can only speak for, well, I mean, me anyway. I mean, I can only speak for aircraft, but I mean, this week alone, I'm looking at like, you know, first it was, you want me to kick it off or do you got? You
No, go ahead, man. Kick it off. Roll. Kick it off for us.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty excited about Kinetic's new F-16, man. I mean, if you check on their Facebook page, they come out, you know, kind of going back to their roots with releasing an F-16A, the NATO MLU version. That's one I've always kind of wanted to do. I, for some reason, want to do a Norwegian jet.
It's different, you know. Yeah. It's cool. You don't. You always just, you get kind of tired of seeing just straight up, you know, U.S. F-16, yep. Which they're still cool though.
Oh yeah.
I just, you know, yeah, I'm with you. When I saw that one come out, I was like, huh, that's kind of cool. You know,
when I read what they're going to be doing, like their, you know, their new tooling methods and the way they're going to have the ordnance is going to be magnetic and, you know, they're throwing in some innovation there. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that kit.
What about that new 32nd scale F-35 from Trumpeter?
Yeah, that was another surprise. I had no idea that was coming.
That's going to be pretty cool.
I hope Trumpeter does not make a bad kit per se. Like that MiG-23, it's a Trumpeter kit that fits great. You know, it's not Tamiya. Don't get me wrong. It's not a Tamiya kit, but the fit is good. I just, you know, take some time, do the research on the markings, and then someone QA the instructions. For the love of God.
For the love of God.
Please. Put color call-outs where they need to be so you're not, like, trying to scratch your head. You know, what color I got to paint this? And it doesn't tell you. Then you got to get on the internet and you got to look, and that's where references come from to find out how you got to, you know, what color you got to paint things. You know, that's my biggest, grinds my gears the most about Trumpeter kits. Cool subjects.
Well, this
they're trying, really cool. though. They're trying, and it's not... And they actually do a pretty decent job of fitting, you know, I mean, for the most part, the kits are, you know, they fit pretty well. But yeah, I mean, kudos to them for doing a Charlie too, you know, not doing the A or the B. I'm glad they're doing a Charlie.
Well, that's what I was just fixing to say. It's pretty cool. You know, and it's the Grim Reapers, you know, VFA 101. Yep. So that's pretty cool.
They got a couple
cool
schemes. Ironically, they're not around anymore. Because they were the rag squadron in the beginning, and then they went away. And but hey, aftermarket options are going to be out there popping up.
Yep, I want to go back to the Kinetic F-16 because, you know, like we were talking about the droopy nose, and you know, I think then they came out with a re-release and for the most part fixed the droopy nose. Still a little too droopy, but it wasn't as bad as the original release. And so hopefully this one that they do their homework and we don't have super droopy, noses. Did you guys see mini bases coming out with an F-16 too?
Yes. I was just going to mention that. Yep.
So we'll be anxious to see how that happens.
I was reading up on some of the threads on that. Cause you know, mini base, they did the same thing to, someone else, you know, you saw Kinetic did their release, and then these guys come along and go, hey, we got one coming too, man. Someone on the Facebook, one of their Facebook pages was talking about how, they said that before, and we're still waiting on someone released maybe it was Great Wall or somebody with their Sukhoi line. SU line, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, hey, we got one coming too. And like, you know, people are like, still waiting, you know, so are they doing that so that people hold off on getting the Kinetic kit? Yeah. You know, it's marketing and you know, it's game in the market, I suppose, or something like that. But
I mean, you know, I totally, but they did come out with the SU-33.
Yeah.
So, but I think with F-16 stuff, I really don't. I mean, I understand Mr. Timian doesn't like a two-seater. Well, guess what? The F-16A is a single-seater, and you can do a ton of cool schemes with an A, and any of the export versions. And I would have thought that they would jump on. I know that they'd have to make some new sprues with some new antennas and the pair brake housing and that. But that's easy,
dude.
That's easy, man.
If they expanded on that. On their 16 line, it'd been printing money. Why they sat on, you know, what do you got, a C and an N, essentially, right?
You got the CJ, because they kind of went backwards. And
again, you know, it's
a C, a CJ, and then the N. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, yeah, why not go further with that? And then someone was saying the other day, too, it's been like 17 years since it first came out. And I was like, wow, has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
That's crazy. Crazy, man.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I remember when those kits were at Hobby Lobby, and you'd wait for your 40% off discount, and freaking, I'd go buy as many as they had, you know? I think I bought 4 one day. We were in Columbia. Allison's like, I need to run into Hobby Lobby real quick. I'm like, okay. So I bebop over, and I see they have 40% off, and there's a whole slew of F-16s. I'll take that one, that one, that one. I mean, I got them all for, you know, $20 or something like that. $30. Yeah. Cheap. Free. It was free.
Free stuff.
Yep.
So other new kits, man, that I'm pretty jazzed about are Special Hobby. You got an L4 Grasshopper coming out. I know that's kind of like, you know, okay, it doesn't go fast, but it's kind of a unique subject. I'm looking forward to that one just because there's not a decent L4 out there.
Nope.
That and let's see, Dora Wings just announced a Beaver 48 scale to have on Beaver. We see one of those just about every morning around here, don't we? Not the animal, the have on Beaver, man.
Yeah, TPS.
The TPS guys, man. Every morning, right over my office window, man. There it goes. I'm like, radial engine, cool. And then what about the 116? You know, talk about armor stuff again. The 116th armor stuff is just exploding, man. Like Andy's Hobby Headquarters just come out with their announcement of their Easy 8 Sherman.
Yeah, second kit.
Yeah, and TACOM got a Jeep coming, which they're not calling a Jeep because they don't want to pay Chrysler a bunch of money. So they're using the military like nomenclature for it.
Smart.
Which I don't even know what the heck that is. A lot of new stuff just popping out. And hopefully some of this, I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to what's going to be available at Nats maybe in July.
Oh, my goodness,
You know, is Tamiya going to have P-38s ready by then? Who knows?
I
mean, I don't know the windows are supposed to hit the street.
I hope so. We learned our lesson with the last time, right? We hauled ass to Chattanooga, hoping we got the skinny that they're going to have some there. So we were like busting the speed limit, light speed to get down there.
And we hear that they got them there.
And so then we go down there and we're like, man, where are the P-38s? Oh, here. When you have a ticket and there'll be a lottery system, you're like, what?
That was a buzzkill.
Most people, I mean, it seemed like everybody got one. I didn't get one, but.
They had like 300 and something there, I thought. I think it was 300 and something they had there.
I don't know.
That's a lot of P-38s.
And it wasn't a P-38. It was just the opportunity to buy one if you wanted one. Because there were guys who are armor builders or ship builders. They got their raffle number called, and they're like, what am I going to do with this, you know?
Yeah.
And the only way I got one was there was a guy, because remember how long it took? They were sitting dragging it out like 2.5 hours. And the guy next to me was like, oh, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And he gave me his raffle tickets. And like 10 minutes later, one of his numbers got called.
Bingo.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
We have a winner.
Yeah, man. It's going to be, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but holy geez, Nat's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
For sure.
Kind of makes those shitty days at work not all so shitty because you're like, hold on, man. We got something coming up here. In a month and a half, and it ain't going to suck.
I agree. Hey, can I hit a piece of news? It's not a new kit release, but I think it's a pretty big one, and that's the live next weekend with the Triple P guys. Scott hit us up today, and it's going to be, he calls it the Geek Fest, but we'll be doing a Facebook Live and over on YouTube as well with Scott Gentry and John Bonanni, TJ, those guys over at the Triple P, the 18th at 8 p.m. So good stuff, man. Eastern keep an eye time. Out on Facebook. I believe that's Eastern time.
Roger. So,
okay. Y'all, you know, listeners out there, keep an eye out. Like to have y'all join us for the live little Q&A. BS session. It'd be a lot of fun. So, and that's big news.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. All right. So that's what's on the streets. So now, what'd you guys buy? Anything since the last show?
I did.
Ooh, what'd you get?
All right. So I was, I'm starting to debate the whole, like, I get that, I can put decals on a flat surface because I do it all the time. We use an aqueous, just got to polish it up. But I'm starting to think that because I don't ever have silvering. I really don't. I'm not kidding. I just don't because I polish it. So it's nice and smooth and it's soft and paint and just decal just sucks down to it. Anyway, long story short, but sometimes the decals the carrier film can turn the color of the paint underneath. It just is a little bit of a different color. So you can, it's not silvering. It's just changes the color. So I was talking to Justin about it and he's like, dude, you gotta get some of that Mr. Color, GX, gloss and the GX matte. And so I did. I picked up three bottles. I picked up the Mr. Color, the GX 112, which is the UV cut gloss. Then I picked up 100, which is just standard old GX. And then I picked up GX, I guess it's the GX 114, which is the matte color.
And yeah, that's so good stuff, man.
I'm gonna try that stuff out on the mule and see if I can get away from these funky little carrier film things. I had to pull a couple off the SU-27. They were on there. I'm like, it doesn't look all that good.
Just to back up, who makes this stuff again?
It's Gunzi. Yeah.
Gunzi, Mr.
Hobby.
Mr. Hobby.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Like the GX
where
stuff.
Where can you get it at, man?
I got mine on eBay. Because yeah, I can't. It's hard to find in any store. It sells out really, 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 really quick. And but it's evidently supposed to be really, really good stuff.
Oh yeah, man. You thin that with the gloss stuff. If you thin it with their leveling thinner.
Yep. You're good
like
to go.
Butter.
And that's what Justin does is and this is what he suggested, because he used to have the issues too. And I think even Dukes, when he was working on that his SU-35, I think, when he did the flanker build off, he had the some decals go funky on him. And so Justin was telling me that when he started using this stuff, he just kind of polishes and then he spot sprays the gloss on just where the decal is going to go, puts the decal down, lightly coats it again with gloss after it's dry, then hits it with the flat. And he's like, we've seen his stuff on the pictures and it's perfect. So, but yeah, I had a good recovery with the SU-27. I stenciled the whole thing. So it was a lot of work, but it looks neat. Looks really good. But I had to pull a couple of them off because they really looked like funky. Like it wasn't like you're kind of like, well, I mean, they were bad. It's like white, and I'm like,
that's weird, man.
That's weird.
You had that happen with other decals. Like I know that you what'd you use here? What kind of decals?
I used Linden Hill. Decals, and I haven't had any. I didn't have any issues with Cartograph stuff printed, so there might be. But I mean, again, it's
well those Linden Hill decals. Yeah. They have that flat.
No, they're glossy
to them, don't they? Or
no, they're
which
glossy.
Ones am I thinking? I'm thinking about Begmont decals,
Begemont or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder. Again, I was wondering if maybe that was a factor. But
yeah, I think it's just it just happened to. Again, when I put the matte coat on, but I even could notice on a couple of them where it was the majority of the stencil was carrier film. That's where it happens. And, I could just like, again, I had to pull one or two of them off. No real big deal. You know, I just put some tape and yanked them off and put some dull coat down and there you go. None the wiser. So, I picked up three bottles. I got them on eBay because I couldn't find them anywhere else. I searched Sprue Brothers. I couldn't find them on Sprue Brothers. So I just went to the old eBay and found them and had them shipped here in a couple of days. So that's all I got this past couple of weeks. That was it.
D-Ran, what'd you buy, man?
I really haven't bought much. I've been buying little fiddly stuff for the Salvinos next gen Camaro that I'm working on, some decals. I did pick up some Detail Master compression fittings because I'm, putting in all the oil lines and fuel lines and stuff in the engine bay. So I got that and some braided line. Picked up my paints for the livery that I'm going to be doing, and got those from Model Car World. Their line of you know, race paints, but you know, that's really been about it. It's been kind of quiet and easy on the pocketbook here the last couple of weeks. You know, started a new job, been too damn busy drinking through a fire hose, man, with the job to do any shopping and stuff. But that's going to change soon. Saving my money for Nats.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's
thank
good.
God I'm driving.
Yeah, nice. we'd have a lot more money to spend on models if we weren't paying $1 bazillion for that damn hotel.
Well, yeah, it'll be fun though.
The potty suite, you mean?
Yeah,
that's right. Not the Mojo Dojo. We're gonna have to come up with a name for the Geek Suite.
I think the Mojo guys, I think they got stickers made up too, man.
Yeah, I think they did.
And that's pretty cool. I think it says like something like build hard, drink hard, no mercy, something like that. Or no, drink geeks. Hard, build fast, no mercy, something like that.
Yeah, model like Cobra, suite, like man. A take on the Cobra Kai thing or something like that.
Yeah, man, that's hilarious. Funny. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Model Geek Suite. There we go. We'll get a sign made.
We're gonna have to come up. Yeah, something. It's gonna be a good time.
Heck yeah, man. Looking forward Whitey. To it for sure.
Did you buy anything?
I haven't bought anything, man. I've been a good boy over here. Not blowing money. Blowing money on other stuff. Graduation parties and stuff like that, man.
He ain't bought nothing but a buzz.
Yeah.
Well, I'm right there with you. I haven't bought anything, but I was over at D-Ran's house the other night after we met up at the pub. And he picked up the Tamiya P38 from him. And then we were talking to Scott Gentry. And I had the wrong jerry cans on my Sherman. I guess I had Israeli ones. Well, I know they're Israeli ones. They came from a Israeli tank that I did like years ago. And he's like, hey, man, you got to have different jerry cans, either U.S. or German. And I was like, well, I don't have any. And so Scott Gentry from the Triple P was nice enough to send me some jerry cans, and he sent me the Tamiya Airfield or Allied Vehicle Accessory Set. It has like oil drums and jerry cans and water cooler bags. So
good stuff to have.
Yeah, man. So I appreciate it, Scott.
For all your future armor builds.
Yeah, I don't know about future armor builds. I know there's at least three more in my future because I have three more armor kits on the shelf over there. So, and that's pretty much it. That's it for me, man. I've been kind of wanting to save my money because I know we got Nats coming up. So the more I buy now, it's less I can buy then. So,
you know,
sequester myself.
Those armor builds, my hat's off to those guys that do that. And, you know, they always talk about, TJ says all the time, I don't know how y'all do that, the cockpits and this and that. And well, mine is the weathering and stuff that they got. I used to always be, I was one of those ones that thought, well, just throw some mud on it. Just throw some dust on it. Man, those are some techniques that are really hard to do. So, I mean, I applaud what they're doing with that armor stuff. I've got two that I've started, and I don't know that I'm ever going to do another one. Too stressful for me.
They are the techniques you taught. Like, I look at mine, and I go, okay, I like how it looks, but then I look like, I threw pictures up there on the Triple P page. And I just imagine, like, armor guys out there, well, look at this noob over here. Like, you know, I'm just, because I'm sure there's stuff wrong on it, like quote unquote wrong. Yeah. And I'm sure my, you know, whatever weathering techniques are on it that I did attempt, they're obviously not up to amps par for sure. Like, you know, so, but, you know, I had fun building it, and that's what it's all about, man. And I'm looking forward to the display that's going to be out there because it's going to just be a metric ass ton of Shermans on that table.
Yeah, there is. It's going to be cool.
You know, it's going to be kind of cool, though, to see different variants of the same. What was the chassis, right? It was the Sherman chassis because they had, like, different top parts to them. And I've always kind of wanted to do that with an airplane, like pick an airplane and do all the variants of it. Like, take an F-14, do an F-14A, an A+, or B, and then a D, and maybe some of the prototype ones would be really cool. I wish someone would do those. Man.
We're kind of doing that with the A4 group build, right? I mean, anybody can build whatever variant they want from that.
I'll be anxious to see how many turn up at Nats.
Yeah, me too.
I hope there's just like more than just five. There's hundreds of them. Yeah, more than five or four. There should be four.
If I there's like 160 people in the group.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, if half of those guys are actually going to Nats, then that'd be great.
Maybe at most, maybe 20%, maybe, if that, right? You invite 100 people to a party.
Yeah.
About 20 usually show up.
Well, folks, if you're out there building one for the group build and you're not going to Nats, but you know somebody that is, hand it off to them. They'll take care of you.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
We'll start canvassing the group too, the bill group, and see what kind of numbers.
See who's bringing. Yeah. Because we might need a medium table, might need a small table, might need a big ass table.
Yeah.
Hopefully, need a big ass table.
We might need the kitty card table from Thanksgiving. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Cool, man.
All right. So, well, I guess not spending a whole lot of money right about now is a good thing. Save it up for later.
Yep.
All right, next part. We got shows and contests coming up. And we've got our the Roanoke show. And then we have MarauderCon.
I am looking forward to Roanoke. It's been a long time since we were up there for that one.
How far is Roanoke from here?
It's about 4 hours, four and a half hours.
Oh, yeah, man. About that.
Not do we want to do maybe a overnighter? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we did before when we went.
Yep.
It's about time. The same as Mosquito Con, right? Yeah, four and a half hours.
Yeah, we went up there. We really had a good time. I'll never forget it because we're sitting there. They keep track of awards by club.
Yeah.
Club affiliation. Yeah. And about two-thirds of the way through the awards presentation, the announcer for the MC finally goes, "Who in the hell is Southern Maryland Scale Modelers?" Because there was, four of us there?
That's QMD, man.
There was four of us there, and we were second in award totals.
Yeah.
And it was just comical because no one had heard of Southern Maryland Scale Modelers. And
QMD, man.
It was a lot of fun.
Gonna take over.
And 2 o'clock in the morning, Waffle House didn't suck either.
They got a Waffle House?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, man. All right.
Yeah, it was a good time.
That'll be good.
And that is that's on August 13th, so...
Cool.
Wait a minute. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. August.
It's after Nats.
I might not be here for that one. You guys can go have fun.
It's a good time. Great time.
Yep. I don't think I'm going to make that one.
Where are you going to be?
Yeah. Where are you going to be?
Saudi.
Oh.
In August.
I'm safe until October. Then I'm going to see
I'll be there in October, Podfather.
I'm going to see the Podfather.
Yeah.
Yep, he's going to come see me when I'm down in Norwa in Australia. So,
cool, man.
He's already planning. I got the weekend. I'm coming up that way. So make sure your weekend's free.
You should head down their way and sit in on a recording with them.
There you go.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I think he's a distance. I think he said he was like 8 hours away.
Oh, wow. Holy goodness.
So,
if you got a weekend off, what else are you doing?
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
It's a lot of driving.
Oh, I'd catch a plane.
A lot of driving on the wrong side of the road. Yeah.
And then September 10th, you have PennCon. That was another good show.
Cool. Yes, that'll be fun.
Jeez, yeah.
Yep.
That'll be fun.
Those guys will be back at it.
And that's back at the Army Heritage Center in Carlisle this year too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
Great venue.
That's it, man. That's a quick drive, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Whitey and I made it. It was like 2 hours and 15 minutes or something like that.
I mean, we were, man. Yeah.
We left way early because we're like, we just, want to make sure we have plenty of time.
Well, that was when we were at Gettysburg. Really quick.
Yeah.
That was at Gettysburg. So this one's Carlisle. I think it's a little bit further.
Yeah.
Not too much. Like a half hour difference, maybe.
Still close.
Yeah, that was a good time for sure.
It was a good show, man. I remember that one dude. Freaking hobby show prices selling Tamiya kits for like 10, 15, 20 bucks, man. The good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He was just selling tons of it.
30 second scale A4, Haskell A4 for 20 bucks.
Yeah, free. Man. Free. I got there's that one couple. The lady's super friendly, and they have like, if your kid, they have the line on the little chart on the
Oh yeah, your table, stack.
Your stack gets to a certain line, they give you a bigger discount.
Yeah.
They had that 30-second scale F-16 there. I got to buy that.
Are they PMM plastic model movers or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. They're
great people.
Anytime I'm like, hey, would you take this for it? The guy's like, yep. And the lady's like, yep. I mean, so I buy more from them because they're awesome. They're so friendly. They're so nice. You know, I always like seeing them because they're super friendly and they take care of you.
And they have good deals, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I like about shows. It's like 98.5% of the people are nice. You have your couple of dickwads, but the rest of them are just really, really nice, man.
There are a couple, man. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be a good show. I hope I can make the Roanoke show, but I think I probably might be out of the country.
Oh, that stinks.
Yep. Well, then October 22nd, you got MarauderCon.
Oh, we're there.
We'll hit that one.
Yep. That'll be good.
And I have never been to MarauderCon.
You never been to MarauderCon?
Never. Oh. This will be my first time. I'm going to get my cherry popped.
It's kind of cool. They do a special, like the best A or B-26 Invader.
Yeah.
Did I say that right? A or 26? The same thing, right? A-26 Invader.
No. B-26, because that's B-26.
The Invader and the Marauder.
Marauder, yeah.
I try and stay away from Baltimore personally, but anyway.
They used to have it at that Hilton Garden Inn, and of course all the certain folks really loved it because of the Twin Peaks or whatever, Hooters or whatever place you go eat, man.
Yeah, it's Twin Peaks.
And it was like an hour and 20 minutes from here. It was close, but now they moved it out to wherever, and it's like not
in Havre de Grasse.
Yeah, Havre de Grasse.
Two hours, hour and 45 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. They had a Tilted Kilt there too, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that.
Yes, I think that's where we went. Was the Tilted Kilt? I think
all
it's where
the one poor time. Ladies trying to get through medical school.
Yeah,
single moms.
Right. Just give me my freaking hamburger, lady, and here's your tip.
And well, you know, the best for last, but of course we have the Nationals coming up in Omaha.
That's going to be epic.
Yeah. And it's earlier in the year this year. It's the 20th to the 23rd of July in Omaha. So that's going to be warm.
I bet probably that's just when they could get the venue, you know. It's going to be awesome, man. I mean, it's in Nebraska, too, so it's not like San Marcos, which next year, I don't know if I'm going to bring anything because it's going to melt.
You know, I had a friend of mine years ago went down to Modelpalooza in Orlando.
Yeah.
And he did this, I think it was the Airfix Harrier 124 scale, and he did a resin conversion and all this kind of stuff and resin weapons and put in his car. And by the time he got down there, his sidewinders were just like, whoop, that boat, like it bent down, man. The heat was just too much.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I probably won't be, I don't know if I'm going to bring anything.
Don't leave your kids or your models or your pets in your car.
Yeah.
Folks. Well, summer is here.
In relation to the Nats, as of 1 June, the pre-registration is done. So now you can only do it. You don't get to save $10 now.
You got to pay more money, folks.
Yep. Pay more money.
I forgot to register.
What? Did you really?
I did.
See, if you were going tonight at the museum with us, that wouldn't have happened, loser.
Yeah, I know. I just totally forgot. Yeah. Oh, well. It's okay. I'm only bringing like two, so I'll just go early.
Still gonna cost you $60 or whatever.
$65.
I'll live.
Yeah.
All right. Doable.
But it's gonna be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're gonna have a good time.
Heck yeah, man.
Of course. I'm only bringing one model for competition, I'm not even concerned about like quote winning it, or I'm just going in to rip it up, dude.
it's gonna be a blast.
I'm not gonna rip it up.
Be good times.
We haven't done that since the 2008 Nats.
Yeah, that stuff, man.
We made a name for ourselves. We're famous.
I think y'all had a night in Vegas, didn't you?
In Vegas.
Not really.
No, that was just us, though. We were just hanging out in the casino. Oh, okay. Next thing I know, it was like, holy crap, dude. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
How'd that happen?
I text you guys. I'm like, hey, we're heading down. We'll see you down there. And I don't hear anything back. Allison's like, are they going to join you? And I'm like, yeah, I don't see why not. And I was like texting again. I'm like, dude, where are you guys, man? Are y'all already down there? Nothing. And then finally I'm like, okay. So we go down there, we're eating, and I don't know, it was like noon. You answered the text. And you're like,
oh, sorry, man. We were just sleeping. We stayed out late.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
It was a good time, though.
And I am never not staying at the venue again. That was just
true statement.
You know, taking cabs and Ubers, it was just, we spent more money.
You didn't have to take a cab. I drove y'all's asses around.
And then, a couple of times we had to grab cabs and stuff. And it was like, shit.
Pay you like $100 for
it. Was ridiculous. We paid more money on that than anything else, man.
Yikes.
The nice reprieve was that one night Chris was with us, and we went out like off the strip and we ate at some burger place, some like sports bar kind of thing. And it was like real people prices.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Like, oh, this is awesome.
That was nice.
We stayed at a nice hotel when we were there. It was because we stayed for like 3 or 4 days after you guys left. And it was, holy geez, man. I don't think the only other hotel I've stayed at that's that nice was in New York City, but we stayed at the Bellagio, and it did not suck. It was nice.
We stayed in a hole. It was horrible. But I digress. What's next?
It's all right.
Yeah, what are we doing?
I forgot what hotel we're in, but we're in like one that's next to the venue. It's connected, so we're good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Omaha, we're good. We're good to go, man. We're right there.
Yep. Hey, Darren, before we move on to the rest of the show, why don't you go ahead and tell listeners about our Patreon?
My pleasure, Frillo. We, the geeks, would like to thank all of you, the listeners, for your continued support. We would also like to ask that if you enjoy listening to the show and would like to further support us in our endeavor to promote the scale modeling hobby, then please take a moment and head over to our Model Geeks Patreon page. There you can donate anything from $1 on up, and every penny goes to help offset our production costs. If Patreon isn't your cup of tea, then you can make a one-time donation by visiting our PayPal.me page. This can be done by simply clicking the heart icon at the top right corner of our homepage, and that will take you directly to our PayPal.me page. Please note, donations are not in any way a requirement. We will continue to work hard to deliver the best scale modeling content that we can. So, once again, I'd like to say thank you to you all for downloading and listening.
Hey, thanks, Darren. And moving on to the tool and tip of the episode, I just realized about, you know, I was going through my drawer over here looking for a clamp, and I came across something I forgot I did years ago. But you guys know when you go to the store and you buy like a pair of pants or shorts and the hanger that they hang on? Well, the little clamp part on some of them is about 2 inches wide and it's foam backed. And I was looking at that one day and I was like, hey, that's kind of cool. So I took a saw and I cut those off and I made clamps out of them, and they don't slip because they have that foam that's inside there. And that's what I use when I go to do a wing, because it's, you know, it's long, so it distributes the pressure instead of like in one particular spot. It kind of spreads the pressure out when you clamp it down, and it works great. And it doubles as a chip clip when you're not using it for for models.
Cool, man. Yeah, I don't know how I ever tried to build models without clamps. What the hell I was thinking, right? Whether it's a chip clip, and Allison gets all pissed because, so I'll hear upstairs, God damn it, Scott, did you take the chip clip again? And then the chips are stale.
No.
She'll come down to my bench, take her freaking chip clip, you know, off. It's funny.
And so And so for the tool part of it,
she sounds just like that too, by the way. Sorry.
I'm not saying anything.
She gets so pissed. She's like, I do not talk like that. I'm like, yes, you do. You sound just like that.
And for the tip part, I was looking for something. I needed something skinny to be able to sand, and it had to be kind of rigid. I couldn't use like a sanding stick, and I forgot, but I had these Infinity model, their little sanding metal shapes that you stick. They have the different sandpaper that you stick to it and you trim it. And so it makes like you can get real like 1 millimeter wide to be able to get inside of vents and louvers and stuff. And you can
there you
sand.
Go. Cool,
yeah,
man.
It's really good. Yeah, and so when it gets clogged up or whatever, you just peel it off and you put another piece on. And it has different, like it's got a 3 mil one. It has a 5 mil, a 10 mil. And so just various sizes, and you just stick sandpaper on there and then you can sand. And it's kind of, it's not.
So they're a metal handle, but then the adhesive is on the.
It's on the sandpaper.
It's on the sandpaper. Okay, gotcha. Yep.
So you take it and you just stick it on and you just cut it. You know, you trim it.
Sure. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Fit it. And you got like a. And it's not as soft as. It's not soft like a.
Yeah, man.
Stick,
I'm with you.
But it gives you a nice thing to sand with. So those are kind of nice.
Come in handy when I build a Devastator someday.
Yeah, there you go. Infinity makes decent products, man. They're not bad.
Yeah, they do, man. Great.
I do want to get. I still get the Micromark catalog every now and again, and they have these files. They're like glass files, I think they are.
Yeah,
and they look really cool, and so I wouldn't mind getting a set of those. See how those work.
Yeah, someone had one at a club meeting a while back, and you know we passed around everyone to kind of go to look at, and the good thing about them is you don't get any kind of like the sanding blocks from Sean's modeling tools.
Yeah.
You don't get any flex, you know, they're freaking solid. So you're going to get a flat face, a flat sanding surface to work with.
All right, moving on. It's time for mail call. And the mailbag was pretty busy this week. And one of our emails comes from Jason Brash from Perth, Western Australia. And he was talking about how he does his natural metal finishes because he said he just listened to episode 33. And he's sharing with us how he does his natural metal finishes as he does a couple of things different. And he said he was, put off by doing natural metal because he hadn't deal with it, having had the surface perfect and everything. But he's like, he managed to man up and get out of his comfort zone, and he tried a few things. And he said he likes to use, he's in Australia, so the SMS paint is right there in Australia from Scale Modeler Supply. It's premium.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, like acrylic lacquer kind of stuff. He said it goes on silky smooth, and that's all he uses. And he says their metallics are awesome. They got a very fine pigment, and they're very durable for being a lacquer. And he's like, when the weathering stage for him, he uses Tamiya panel liner. He says that's his go-to. And he's and he likes to be able to mix the different colors to get a particular shade that he's after. And he'll do that. And in his email, he sends a couple pictures of his KI 45 that he did. And it's real sharp looking. Very nice. So thanks, Jason. Thanks for writing in. And then Derek Post sends us an email. And he's like, because he's doing some model room construction, he says that his progress is getting there on the model room, and then he's building up his modeling supplies again. And he said he picked up an old Monogram A4 kit, and he's going to try and have that done for the Nats. So that's what he's working on.
Hoorah. Keep pressing.
And he's like, keep up the good work and look forward to meeting some fellow Airedales in Omaha.
Heck yeah, swing on by.
All right, our next email comes from Rob Morales, and he says he wants to say Bravo Zulu on our fine podcast, and he's like, he's enjoyed us from day one, and he has encouraged his fellow club members, the Marietta Scale Modelers in Georgia, to tune in. Thanks, Rob, for talking to us about your friends.
Yeah, Rob's a good dude, man.
Yep.
He's an armor on Facebook, too.
Yeah. And he says he just finished listening to our interview with Dave Roof, and he absolutely enjoyed it. He says he's known Dave for some time. He's a stand-up guy. Yes, Rob, he sure is. And he says, thanks for all you guys do. And he's glad to be a proud patron sponsor and looks forward to meeting us in Omaha. So Rob, you know, please stop by our booth. We'll be there. All right. Hey, we got another email from a new listener. I'm probably going to butcher this, but his name is Vladimir Jovic. And he says he's Serbian, not Russia. He's like, but unfortunately, I found myself having to put that disclaimer in lately because of current events in the world. But he says he's from Southeast Wisconsin. And he started listening to us about a couple months ago after hearing about us from the Triple P. He says he's plowed through every episode while working and finishing Kinetic's 48 scale SU-33. He says, between the great topics discussed, looks like hammered ass, Frills Deckles, Breaking Bags, and Whitey's Tornado Chronicles, and Scott's lift heavy, hey guys, I build model airplanes, dig at our nerdy selves. It's like having a group of friends with me at the workbench. And that's what we kind of started this thing out to be, you know, there at your workbench with you. So thank you. And it said he's in a summer of 2020, he also built Edward's Desert Babe Tornado, Whitey.
Yeah, there you go, Whitey.
And and he was privileged enough to have it published in Fine Scale Modeler's 30th anniversary issue of Desert Storm.
He feels my pain. Well, I have that issue, and fantastic job on that thing, man.
He says he encountered a lot of the same problems Whitey did, like, what in the shit is this? But he said he was under a 2.5-month time limit to finish it. And he said he relied on a lot of here, hold my beer ideas to overcome the kid's many challenges. And he also, too, hit up that website, desertstorm.eu, for reference. And he said that when he got that done, he went on to the Kinetic 48 scale SU-33. And he says, despite the time it took to fix the several issues, and great is a great challenge of the camouflage colors and pattern, he's very happy with the results.
Well, amen to you on finishing that tornado, brother.
He says, the podcast that we have is a true gem. He's like, you and the other podcasts have broken through new barriers in this hobby. And he says that with the constant shout outs you give to other podcasts and connections that all of you have made, you bring so much positivity into this hobby and the world.
Oh, man, that is awesome to say.
He says, your simple sign off of be excellent to each other is something that I have even started to carry in my professional life.
I saw this and I actually read this email to the wife. That last paragraph really hit me. His opening lines and then that last one, and because, you know, when I had a vision, I had a vision of podcasts like 5 years ago, and there was nothing out there at the time. Of course, it took us a long time to get this thing really off the ground, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah, man.
That's it. And to see somebody else, another listener or a listener out there that picks up on that, that's it. That's just, I could die a happy man. Knowing that that's what the goal was, and that's just awesome.
So, yeah, and he also sends a couple pictures of his tornado and his SU-33. So yeah. Look very nice. Nice builds. Congratulations.
Yeah, man, that tornado's great, and same with the 33. Holy cow. Yeah. I hope he's heading out to Nats. Swing on by. Let's go get a beer.
Yeah, man.
You guys are gonna be wasted.
When are we not wasted at a Nats? At least one night,
man. I'm gonna be like going to eat breakfast at like 7 o'clock. Hey guys, how's it going? I'm going to eat breakfast. You guys are like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm strong over. See you at
noon. Just went to bed.
Which God, way to the all right. See y'all later. Good luck.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for writing in or dropping us a line on the Facebook page. If you have a question, a show suggestion, or just want to say hi and you're tuning in, feel free to toss us an email at contact@modelgeekspodcast.com, or you can find us on our Facebook page. All right. You know, when I was trying to come up with an idea for the main topic, I was kind of tossing around some ideas in my head. And I mean, we pretty much covered a lot of stuff up until now. But then it kind of hit me, you know, what was my aha moment or my moment when something happened and I decided that I was going to take the hobby more serious? You know, be more serious about it, put more effort into my stuff, and be open to learning new techniques. You know, for me, I'll touch on mine later, but I mean, it involves a few people that we all know. But Whitey, when you started, because I mean, you build amazing stuff. And I noticed that from way back when you and I first met at JaxCon down there in Jacksonville. And, you know, what was your like moment that the light, you know, like, oh, I want to take this hobby serious.
Oh man, I can nail it right down to almost to the day, man. You know, like we've mentioned before, we've all been building models since we were kids. And, you know, and it was my visit to, I've talked about this before, I believe, when we did an interview with someone who I'll mention here in a second, but going to the Air and Space Museum back in the early 90s. I went, you know, I've never been, you know, wife and I drove up there and, you know, I'm checking out the cool actual displays, but then of course there's models off to the side. So I'm like, all right, I'm beelining for the model cases, man. And I didn't expect to see just regular model kits, like i.e. kits we can go buy down the street. Or at least at that time we could, you know, but there was the Hasegawa H3, the monogram EA-6B Prowler, the monogram F-14, the Revell A-6. These were all displayed in, you know, they had a Navy display in this case. And, you know, I'm looking at them and I know that they're the, they're not, you know, museum custom kits or custom models that were you know, commissioned out. These were just regular, normal 148 scale model kits that you can go and buy. And I'm looking at them going, wow, someone can build these like that. I should be able to build them like that too. And that was the aha moment that I went, man, I need to really step up my game. And later on, fast forward to a few months back, up at PennCon, Peter Spada, who we sat down and talked with, one of the PennCon Central Penn IPMS guys, was one of the builders. I can recall his name being on one of the plaques there. And we spoke to him about that in that interview that we did with him. And he built other stuff for the museum over. He talked about the Enola Gay display that he did for them. And, you know, just using regular, quote unquote, model kits. And so seeing those on display that time, you know, made me go, all right, I need to be able to do this. If I'm going to build models, at the time I was still brush painting. You know, I didn't even own an airbrush then. You know, cause I was poor. I was nothing in the Navy, living in the barracks. And, at that point, you know, I had just gotten married, have my own space to build now. So I was like, all right, now I can, put a little more effort, behind this hobby, quote, take it to another level. And, you know, the kit I was working on, you know, I think I talked about this in the last episode or something like that. I took some of the extra money that we had from our wedding gifts. Like, you know, people give you a card with $100 in it or whatever like that. I think I took a few bucks and went up to Denby Hobby and bought, you know, the first real expensive model kit I bought was a Hasegawa F-14A. And, you know, so that was the first kit that I know, no kidding, sat down with and really started to really look over the parts and, you know, take a real careful approach to the build process. And then eventually the finishing process, which, you know, out of the gate, no, it wasn't nothing museum quality or contest ready or at all, you know, but that was the first step though. That's when I really first started taking the thing, quote, seriously, and not feeling rushed to just get something done and put it on the shelf, but to build something in a thought out process, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, mentioning that before, and I kind of went along that same way, but I'll get to me later. So, Scott, what about you, man? What made you want to take it serious?
Yeah, man. So, I kind of like Whitey, where he's like, I know the exact moment, when literally just like it was a shift in the thinking and the motivation and inspiration levels just like went freaking through the roof. And I don't know why it happened then. It just did. I just, cause I had been building since I was little and I thought I was pretty decent builder. And then about the same time that I went to my first model show and was about the same time that I met Mark Schachter. And I saw, I remember I went into the, you know, this is early 90s, and I went into our hobby shop because I basically lived in there whenever I had a car. And, you know, I'd go in there. Think I lived there. And Eugene, bless his heart, I don't know if he's still around, but if Eugene's still around, Eugene was just, you know, quirky, old, grumpy guy who worked behind the counter. But he like ordered all the models and took care of all the model section, you know, at the hobby shop there at Leisure Time. So anyway, so I loved Eugene. Justin knows him. And so does Gabe. He's just a hoot. So anyway, he's like, hey, there's this couple new models. You gotta check these out. So I walk into the display area where we had models. And I think I even had a couple of my models in there. They're just, you know, they weren't all that great. And holy crap, Mark had this, it was a 72nd scale F-16. All the panels were opened up, all the bays were detailed. And I was just like, I was just floored. You know, the finish was perfect. And I was like, who is this guy? And, you know, Eugene's like, oh, he's a new guy. He's going through training here on the base. And so, you know, anyway, long story short, he came to one of our meetings and I was like, how are you even doing this? Like, I don't even know. Can you teach me? And Mark was like, hell yeah, I'll teach you. So I went to Mark's apartment and he like showed me, this is the kind of paint you want to use. And that's when I started using Gunsy Aqueous. This is how you want to mix it. That's when I started mixing paint, like 70% thinner and 30% paint. This is how you want to use the airbrush. That's how I learned how to use the airbrush. The whole mindset of building and what models were and how I thought a model should be built and everything changed in an instant when I saw a model that I was just absolutely blown away with. And if anybody's ever seen Mark's work, you can understand how a young kid going, holy hell, I want to do that. And just motivated the living shit out of me to do it. And luckily I had somebody nice enough to teach me. And again, just maybe about the same time Gabe and I met, and we were both about the same level, you know, decent builders, but we just like really fed off of one another. He was going through flight school and we just, you know, it's almost like the whole, you know, after meeting somebody for 2 minutes, you realize you've been brothers in your entire life kind of thing, you know? And so I think going to my first show, meeting Mark Schachter and Gabe, and then shortly thereafter, Justin, we all like influenced each other. We all pushed each other. I mean, that's how the Model Geeks got started back in the early 90s when Justin and Gabe and I just, I don't know, we just kind of all hit it off. And it just, from then on, we pushed each other to do better and we'd learn different techniques. And we learned, you know, little tricks and stuff like that. And we pass it on to each other. And, you know, kind of how Gabe and Mark kind of helped me, you know, build along. I think I helped Justin get started. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I probably enjoy more helping people than I do, you know, working on models myself. That's something that I really enjoy is to see, you know, folks that ask for help and then you help them. And then you're like, wow. Holy crap, that's amazing. There's nothing to me more rewarding than that. So, but yeah, I kind of owe it all to Mark Schachter. That was where the seed was planted and the fire was lit. And yeah, that's my story.
Cool. Yeah, Mark's a great guy. I've had the privilege of meeting him a couple times.
Yeah, hopefully.
And a phenomenal builder, man.
I think he'll be at Nats, so I keep bugging him to try to get him on to do an interview, and he told me that he would, but I know he's really busy at work, so I'll keep bugging him. So, because just to listen to him talk about modeling will blow you away.
Do you know what he might be bringing to Nat? So I know not to be in that category.
Being said, it takes him like 3 years to build something. I know he's working on something, but I don't think he's going to have it ready for Nats.
Good.
So, yeah. I know, right?
Just I'm always kidding, like Mark.
I'm like Mark, what are you working on? Yeah. I'm working on this. Okay, well, I'm not bringing all anything right in that category.
Oh, single engine prop, cool. I'm doing the multi engine.
I'm done. Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's but it's crazy though, because you know, even that first show that I went to, you know, I was very humbled. I'm like, wow, my stuff sucks. Like, it looks like ass, and it just again. But when you don't know, you don't know. And but I wasn't afraid to ask questions. I wasn't afraid to ask somebody, hey, what can I do better? I wasn't afraid to go, what kind of paint do you like to, you know, anything, or Mark, will you help me? And he was like, of course. You know, anytime anybody's ever said, hey, can you help me? Of course I would, you know, I bend over backwards to help. It's something I love doing. So yeah, man, come talk to us at Nats and shoot the shit. It's, you know, maybe we'll end up inspiring somebody to, you know, their switch will get flipped and they'll plant the seed. And next thing you know, they're going to be the next Mark Schachter.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that we have the seminar going on at Nats, and that's a great forum for folks to come up. I love it when the folks come up and ask questions. I know y'all do too. It's part of why we do what we do, and that's a lot of fun interacting with folks and passing on. I'll pass on what little knowledge I have, but I still like to do that. And in our Facebook lives that we do, you know, those are on Facebook and on YouTube. We advertise those on Facebook. Another Q&A session, you know, ask questions. I enjoy the hell out of it. So I just wanted to put that out there. It's, you're right, Scott, ask questions, right?
Yep. Don't be afraid. I hate going to, the wrong word. I always love going to shows and being able to talk to people. And, you know, I'm just not shy to go walk up to somebody. And I hope that folks, you know, would want to just come up to us and want to shoot the shit with models.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just regular dudes, man. There's nothing special about any of us. So, just come talk to us and happy to have any conversation you want about modeling, man. You know, there's lots of people out there that blow me away. They're just amazing modelers and, you know, love talking about it. All good.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll have a great chance to do that because one of us here on the panel is leading a demonstration on how to paint Navy TPS schemes.
Who would that be?
I don't know. Probably the guy who does the best painting out of all of us, I guess.
Well, I heard it was Forrest Gump.
Oh.
I'm just going to keep painting.
Well, I guess I'll just keep on painting. And maybe I'll bring some ice cream for Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan, magic legs. Sorry. Good time.
All right, Darren. What about you? What was your moment?
Oh my God, what was my moment? You know, I've been building models since I was way young, and I'm always been kind of self-competitive. So I've always tried to be serious about it, I guess. I wanted to do a little bit better each time. I remember building my first B-17 for my uncle who flew B-17s over in Europe. And it had to be, I took that serious, right? So it had to be the best because it meant something. So I don't know. It's I think probably when I really realized that my stuff sucks and I need to up my game and I really need to take the stuff serious and invest in the right equipment and start asking questions and learning was, I said this at lunch earlier today. That's when I met you guys and joined this club here, Southern Maryland Scale Modelers. Matter of fact, I still have the Tamiya P-51 Mustang sitting in my cabinet over here that I took to that first meeting and I was going to show everybody. And I went, oh, my shit sucks. And I put it back in the box. And so I think that was probably my aha moment when I saw some of the talent that was sitting around that table. You know, God, what has that been, 10 years now? 12 years? It's been quite some time.
Yeah, it must be about that long. We were still at the museum, so.
Yeah. Actually, the first meeting was at the library.
Library, yeah.
Wow, but, that's many moons ago, man.
Yeah, it was quite some time ago. So, but no, that's when I first hit, it first popped in my mind that I needed to up my game. I needed to learn something, start asking questions. and paying attention. So I took it serious. You know, so scale modeler, or the Southern Maryland scale modelers, Scott, you had mentioned earlier the original geeks. You know, that kind of segues back into the whole club deal, bouncing ideas off each other.
Oh, yeah, man. It's huge.
You know, asking questions, that support group, or I don't want to say support group, that knowledge base, that's better, knowledge base, right?
Yeah.
Is huge. You know, Dave.
It can be a support group sometimes. So.
Sometimes it can, yeah. God knows it can. Dave over at the Mojo, you know, his thing is, what are you going to do to get better? And I think probably number one on that, and I think about that all the time. Number one is ask questions. Number two, surround yourself with people that are better than you, because you're always going to strive to be that good.
Yeah.
And three is join a club. And I've tried to do those ever since I got serious about the hobby. And I think it's paid dividends. So.
Well, and in that time, look at you, man. It's been how long? And then what, last Nats, you walked out of there with two awards.
Yeah.
In some very competitive categories too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, another guy who reminds me, you know, of those things you just said is Paul from the club.
Yep.
His improvement has been marked. And, you know, he's a guy that asks questions, and he always apologizes when he asks a question. And we're like, no, dude, get on with it. Ask, man.
Whenever I see Paul, it reminds me so much of myself when I first joined the club. Because I was the same way. I was like a baby with big eyes, and I was just soaking it in, right? And I would pull Scott and say, oh, my God, man, how'd you do that? Remember, I would always pull you aside. How'd you do this? How'd you do that?
Yeah.
Raised panel lines. How'd you make that look like recess panel lines? Yeah. You know, I was always asking the questions. And
I always think that's great, though. And this sounds so stupid, but, like, I love it when people come up and talk to me about models, and I feel bad because they're going to have to listen to me. You know what I mean? It's like, I know that I am a talker. And so when I have to try to catch myself and like, dude, only speak for like a couple of seconds and then shut the hell up and let them talk. But, you know, my OCD and my only child syndrome kicks in, and next thing I know, talking for like an hour and people are like, dude, shut the hell up. But yeah, I always feel bad. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going on. You know, and most people are very polite, and they're like, oh, no, it's okay, it's okay. But I really do feel bad. I'm like, I know I have a sickness. I won't shut the hell up. So just my only, like, you know, if you come talk to me at Nats, please do it. Just be prepared what you're getting yourself into.
So
shut the fuck up, man.
So to piggyback on that, the safe word for Nats is going to be cashew. If you see me, and you're talking to Scott and you need something, just cashew, and I'll come pull you away.
Cashew. I think that's a good plan. I'll try to be mindful. Driving freaking people crazy. I'm here to bring people to the hobby, not drive them away from the hobby.
What does Allison say? Your 2 minutes is up.
Your 2 minutes are up, honey. She gives me the two finger, the peace sign. That means you're talking. You're talking 2 minutes.
So Nats goers, it's the peace sign or safe word cashew, and we'll take care of you.
Another AKA Scott, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Copy. All good. And you're not gonna hurt my feelings because I get it. Hi, my name is Scott, and I freaking talk a lot.
And he'll just start running some more. Anyhow, so I would say the time I got serious, going back to the original question there, Frillo, was whenever I joined the club and I met you guys and the rest of the folks in the club.
For me, it was when I first met Whitey, believe it or not, because like Whitey.
Ah, Whitey.
He does like amazing cockpits, and I've always liked Whitey's cockpits. And I remember we were at JaxCon down there in Jacksonville, and I think he has Fury. It's FJ4 Fury.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Matchbox kit. One.
Yep.
And I was looking, and I remember looking, because when I look at a model, an airplane, I always look at the cockpit first. That's where I go, because that's where I suck at the most. And I remember Whitey had these amazing cockpits, and I was like, man, I was like, how do you do that? You know, and I was just like, man, I wish I could paint cockpits like that. And I started talking to Whitey, you know, he kind of told me how he did it and everything. And then I started kind of doing it like that, and they still weren't coming out great. And I was a so-so modeler for a long time. You know, I couldn't seem to like get over that that hump, you know, to get onto the next level. And then I remember the 2008 Nats. We were in Virginia Beach, and White and I were looking at this dude's EA-6B Prowler. And I was like, man, this thing is cool. And this individual just happened to be standing there and heard me say that. And so we started talking to him.
And he wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, he wouldn't shut up. And I remember someone chick was saying, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. And we were like, what, 2 minutes? and Scott introduced himself. And you know, we got to talking and was like, yeah, man, we're stationed at Pax River. And he's like, oh, I'm going to be over there too. Blah, blah, blah. We got to shooting the shit. And just, I knew then, because I had a couple models that I had placed that I didn't place, but I entered in the NAS that year. And looking back, they had no business being in there, like no business whatsoever. And somehow I ended up pulling out 2 premier awards, which that is another story in all itself, but ended up pulling 2 premier awards. I was kind of excited about that. But when you're, I think it was kind of like the first model show that I really went to. No, I had JaxCon a couple times, but just seeing the level of competition that was at the Nats, so I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get like that. And then when, after Scott got to Pax River, there were a couple times I was still slinging model. I was slinging Model Master enamels for a long time, man. And the first thing he says is, you got to get rid of that shit, dude. Step one.
I did.
Get rid of that shit.
I did.
And I was like, really? I'm like, man, because they make all the cool colors, man. How am I going to? You know, I had a few Tamiya paints and everything, but most of my stuff was Model Master. And I did, man. I got, you know, got turned on to this Gunzy stuff. And he told me how to thin it. And many a couple days over in Scott's basement, him showing me how to get to us, you know, get to that point. And honestly, that's when it was for me. I was like, holy crap. And I was working on the Rodent OV10 Mohawk. And
I remember that. I was like, yeah, man.
And I was like, man, it's finally starting to click for me.
Hell yeah.
And so that kind of goes back to Darren's thing where he had the model club where I had you and Whitey to kind of like motivate me. And I was just, I'll be honest with you, I was always trying to compete with Whitey. I'm like, man, how can he, I gotta be able to beat that guy one day. And it was just amazed me at the talent that people had. And I was like, man, I wish, hope to one day be on that level. And
we are, man.
thanks. And that was when I decided to, you know,
someday you'll win a best tailhook award, but
yeah, one of these days. One of these days, I'll take that trophy home.
It's good.
But that was it for me, man. And that was just, you know, I'm like, man, I could do this. And so, because, you know, like I learned completely 100% over from where I learned, because I really didn't start learning skills until like the mid 90s or so. Was when I started, you know, how to illuminate a seam. And I did that half-ass, you know, and so, but it wasn't until that point when I was like, man, my skills started to improve and I am where I am now. And I'm always looking, you know, to keep improving upon that. And so that's why I'm glad I have you guys, you know, that, so you guys all motivated me.
Good deal,
man.
I was
just like, I gotta be able to do this. Cause like I used to collect football cards and baseball cards. And my wife told me, she's like, you gotta pick one or the other, man. She's like, you can't do both, you know, sports cards or models, pick one. And I was like, oh man, I was like, I'm gonna stick with models. And, I've been there ever since.
I think you chose wisely.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, man.
It's fun.
But having a club and going to shows, that's how you improve, man.
Well, yeah. And you meet people too. I mean, like look at the friendships. Like, you guys are my best friends, you know, and God willing and the creek don't rise, I'll know you guys for the rest of my life, you know, for the rest of our lives.
I'll be like 100 years old. I'll be like, man, you see that new damn Tamiya kit? What the hell? Okay, there went my dentures.
I'll be shaking trying to do cockpits.
Oh, shit. Yeah. God. Yeah, well, that means the world to think that I influenced somebody and helped them, because I love doing that. And, it's more fun than me working on my own model, is being able to help folks. That's why I love doing it. And, it's really cool to just see when they're, cause you can see the fire in their eyes. And when you would come over and you're just like taking notes, and you know, you're really trying. I mean,
I still got those too.
It's and then when you pull it off, and I mean, if you could just see the look on your face, it's really cool, man. And then of course the creme de la creme was whenever we went, was it Columbia? I think it was in Columbia, and you beat me at Nats, and that for me was like far better than any trophy I've ever won, because I don't know, I was just really happy for you. Look at that, that's funny. you still got the notes.
Yep, here's one right now. Painting like Sammo 101. Pre-shade, yeah, base coat, man. Highlight, base coat blend, brown, black, highlight, stars, buff between layers, thin paint, and patience.
There you go, man.
Patience.
Put that on a plaque.
I still need to learn that black brown layer.
It's so easy.
Talking about the Tammy black brown mix, like the throat, man.
I got some of that right here, actually.
Yeah, that's my go-to for even weathering metal. Black brown mix and the post-it note. That's all you need.
That's a good one.
Yeah, when I did that, I mean, I had to learn. Like, it was basically like trying to walk, you know, learning how to walk all over again.
Yep.
And Scott's like, you're all fucked up, son.
but
you're a soup sandwich.
Man.
You talked about, you know, making the switch from Model Master paints to, you know, I was in the same boat because I was a Model Master guy because that's what was available in the 90s, you know, when I started, quote unquote, taking this seriously. You know, and I was living in Pensacola and building out of my garage, so it was fine being in there, hot obviously in the summertime and bugs. And then, you know, fast forward to me getting down here to Maryland and having to compete with the bugs again in the garage. And that's where, you know, meeting you, meeting Scott, and us talking about acrylic paints, that's when I made that change. But the real and that was a game changer as well, not just because of the style of paint, but just the okay, Roger, now I can sit here at my bench and paint and relax, and not be running out to the garage to shoot paint and rushing it because I'm competing with bugs and heat in the summer or with freezing cold in the winter.
Now, when we were in Maine.
Yeah. Same, you know. And so sitting here and just being able to, open the back door, pop a fan on for some ventilation, you know, and shoot some acrylics, I can sit here and take my time doing it, and that was a giant game changer.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's like when Kristen was saying she wanted to buy a house, you know, and I was like, well, I don't care where we live, but I want a basement, and I build model airplanes in a model room in the basement. I'm tired of going out in the garage, and like you, I mean, you're many times come over to my house. You know, we're in the garage. And growing up, you know, living in Florida, that's how it was too, man. My stash was outside and all my paints, and it was just miserable because you're sitting there, you're trying to airbrush, and you got sweat getting everywhere because it's so damn hot.
Not fun. So the hobby is just not fun doing it at all.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Is that Maverick behind you?
Yeah, it is Maverick.
Whoa.
No,
So for listeners, it's we have Mavericks walked into Frildo's modeling room here. It looks like someone's getting ready or coming back from the Top Gun.
Is she going or is she? Yeah,
I don't know what she's doing. I just happen to turn around. I hear something, and she's standing there in one of my flight suits and aviators on.
That's awesome, man.
But yeah, and that's why, you know, because you guys, I mean, we bounce stuff off each other all the time, and I'm like, there's some times that I'm like, gosh, I can hear Scott already. You know, he's like,
but see,
Sensei's not going to be happy with this one.
But that's what's so important about having that community, right?
It is. It is.
You know, in the club. And so it goes back to, what are you going to do to make yourself better? I still think the key to being better is surrounding yourself with people.
Yeah.
And asking questions and sharing ideas.
Yeah. And not being afraid to take a little, I mean, because you're putting yourself out there. If you're going, hey guys, what do you think about this?
Absolutely.
Be prepared for I think that looks like crap, man. I think you should fix it. Or I would do this way or do it that way or whatever. And that's one thing that we all can do. That's why the group is so successful, because we're like, tell me if, or how do I do this? Or how do I make this better? Does this look okay? And everybody's typically like, oh man, I don't know, dude, I might want to do it this way. So I feel like the criticism that we do get half, well, sometimes we go, nah, dude, that looks like shit. You need to change that. but normally
chewed
it's like,
bubble gum.
Yeah, I would do it this way, or maybe you want to think about doing this or that or whatever. But I mean, having the forum and having this, it's great that we have, you know, I got Frill and Whitey, Darren, Gabe, and Justin to bounce stuff off of. I got some of the most accomplished builders on the planet. And it does. It always raises all of our bars have been raised.
And the thing about that is that group, we've said it before, right? There's 100 different ways to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't always do it all the same. And that's, nope, that's where those ideas come from, man.
So I remember another quick C story, kind of, when Whitey, Scott, and I were going to a show. We met somewhere. I think it was at Scott's house or something. And we go to pile into a car. And I go to grab my container, had my models in it, and the look on Whitey's and Scott's face when they saw how I had my models.
You had it on Saran wrap or bubble wrap, didn't you?
Yeah, man. Cleaner bags. We were like, what in the wide world of sports is he doing? He's going to break them all off, all the pedos and stuff. What the? You know,
I cringe when I get to a show and I see somebody walking in with those big 12 or beer case flats with Saran wrap or plastic or whatever it is, the model sitting on.
I just want to put my arm around them and go, dude, what the hell?
We used to say, come alongside, shipmate. I need to talk to you for a second.
come here, shippy.
Yep. But going back to our group, you know, sometimes I'll be sitting here working on something and I'll forget a technique altogether and I'll throw it out to you guys. I'm like, man, how do you do this again? You know, whether it be even like just doing a wash in the cockpit or.
Yeah, man.
Doing the sometimes even just like doing an oil wash, like, all right guys, when do I put the oil on again? Like, I forget.
Or like, how do you weather the, like, when do you put the wash on the decal?
That's always a big one.
Coat it first or do you put it on, you know?
I
agree. Sometimes I, or like, you know, stuff that I don't do very often, I'm like,
I'm sure I have it written down somewhere, but I still throw it
out. Yeah. Yeah. All the time, man. All the time. Even I forget stuff. I don't write any of the stuff that I do down. I'm such a slow builder. I'm like, God, it's been like a year since I put decals on. So how do I do, you know, what do I do? Okay. Polish this, do that, blah, blah, blah. Stubborn areas use the, you know, but you know, it's having a group and not being having that, you know, that sense to having a good group that you can talk to. It's huge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to think that we all inspire each other, you know?
True.
And we all make each other better modelers. And,
amen.
And, you know, I just think that's what's so cool about this group and the podcast and all that. We inspire and motivate each other, and we end up growing the hobby without even kind of trying. That's just that's what happens. And I think that's what it's all about.
All right. Thanks guys. Thanks for chiming in and letting listeners know what was your aha moment when you decided to take things serious.
Frill, that was a great topic.
You know what? Yeah, I mean, I was kicking around something to talk about, discussion, you know, and I thought that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, man. No, that's a good one.
It was a good one.
All right. Before we close out the show tonight, take a few seconds, and I would like to thank our amazing sponsors, Detail and Scale, Furball Aero Design, and Tamiya USA. We thank you for your support, and as well as support of all the other model geeks out there that give us a listen while they're sitting there at their bench. And we hope you guys all enjoyed listening as much as we enjoy sitting here discussing the hobby, and we want to thank you for making us part of your valuable bench time. We hope you can join us for our next podcast. But for now, be excellent to each other and get out there and build something. Out from the geeks. Take care, everybody.
Take it easy, folks.
See ya.
Later.